Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
You know, every day I'm either asked, what's it like not being president, or what's it like being chancellor, and about once a week I get sweet notes congratulating me on my retirement. So I used to say every time I'd answer, I go, it's great, it's wonderful. And I walk away and go, there's something there though. What's that feeling? And about 2 weeks ago, I finally identified it. So Brian, put this first slide up, please, sir. It's how many of you have ever given a daughter away in marriage? Raise your hand. Okay, a few, mostly on this side. Or how many have ever had a grandbaby? All right, mostly on this side. It's the combination of both. Let me explain. This is our Lauren Elizabeth. For 27 years, this is when she's a baby, and we had two before her. Our first three were born December, after we told we couldn't have any children, December 5th, December 6th, and December 7th. So she's our December 7th baby. And you notice the spanker there beside my leg. That was the December 6th baby. I'm sure I'm watching him as I'm reading there. But for 27 years, I loved her, cared for her, prayed for her, cared for her, took care of her, cared for her. She was my baby. And we did all kinds of exciting things together. This just shows some of the places she and I had been around the world together. I think the upper left, that's in Istanbul, Turkey. In Cairo, Egypt, on the shores of Australia, the Taj Mahal in India. And we went all over the world together. As we'd say as they were growing up, we're tight buddies. And then at a certain age, at a certain point, I began to pray that a godly man would come into her life and that he would be her husband. Now, I thought this would probably be when she was about 55, 60 years old, and I had a chance to really, truly make sure she was cared for. But out of the blue, God raised up the perfect person. Now, some of you, he's graduated several years ago. He graduated twice from here, Matt Dinsky. Some of you still know him. He's truly my son. As a matter of fact, when he asked my blessing to marry Lauren, he had a little chapel he had built back in the woods. We were sitting in that chapel. And I said, well, Matt, he just asked me, I have permission to marry Lauren. I said, well, let's talk about this. It kind of took the wind out of him. I said, number one, you're not just marrying Lauren, you're marrying into our family. I said, number two, you no longer call me Dr. Jones, you call me Dad. Well, his dad left him when he was 6 years old. So he just broke down crying. I broke down crying. We're close, extremely close. Well, we planned for a big wedding, it's a big outdoor wedding, and then after the wedding, we partied to exhaustion at the reception. I mean, we had a big celebration. And then waved as they went on the honeymoon, and then they came home. And everything was different. She no longer came to me to care for. She went to, first feeling was, that guy. Dr. Smith, are you, I know he had to go downtown. Dr. Smith, that guy right there. And but you know, Matt's my son. I love him to death. Dr. Smith, so this feeling of loss was so worth the trade because of what I received. Two things. In this illustration, next slide, not only did I receive a son, I get to enjoy grandchildren. So what's it like being chancellor? I miss taking care of CIU, but God's given us a great person to take care of us, and I'm still living and I get to watch all the grandchildren. So let's give a big, once again, a big round of applause for Dr. Smith. Tyler Tong, I saw you come in. You were instrumental. Where's, all right, stand up, Tyler. When we were working, praying through this process of bringing a new man to take care of CIU, as stand back up. Tyler was president of our student body and led the student body in praying. Would you right now, one more time, let's pray God's anointing on Dr. Smith and that I'll get to see lots and lots and enjoy grandchildren, okay? Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Dr. Smith. All right, let's get to the scripture. All right, turn to Acts chapter 8, please. Scroll in your phone or turn in your Bibles. I've entitled this message, Get Up and Go. Get Up and Go. And let me read these verses and then we'll jump into it. Let's pick up with chapter 8, book of Acts, verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, Get up and go join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him, the Ethiopian, reading from the Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, and he said to him, Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian replied, Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which the Ethiopian was reading was, this is from Isaiah, and he was led like a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb is led before its shear is silent. So he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment is taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the Ethiopian answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, Philip as well as the Ethiopian eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. But the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until they came to the city of Caesarea. This passage came alive to me this summer when I met, who's become a very good friend, Solon Flowers, and I've invited him this morning to come help me explain and expound and illustrate this passage of Scripture. So would you please give a big, rambunctious CIU welcome to Solon Flowers. Solon, come up, please. Good morning.
Good morning, CIU.
I'm trying to recruit him for our online MBA, so if you guys will accost him afterwards, I'd appreciate that. All right, Solon, what do you do for a living?
Well, currently, you may have heard of the company that I work for. I'm a district manager for the Starbucks Coffee Company.
Do you get to like drink all the coffee you want?
Yeah, that's part of the job. That was probably the biggest bargaining chip for them when they, you know, came to me.
So. Yeah, can you get like straight intravenously?
Yeah. Or? I wanted to know if there was a limit on how much free coffee I could get. So.
Yeah. Well, I know he's given my family a gift, and it was the special brand that's only made in Seattle, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's not what you know, but it's who you know. Okay. So. How long have you and I been friends?
Just a short time, probably going on about 4 months now.
Yeah, I think we're approaching the end of 4 months. So, tight buddies. All right. Now, let's pick up in verse 29, and I want you to watch something as we talk about get up and go. Get up and go. Philip heard the Spirit. Verse 29 says, and the Spirit said to Philip, get up and go join this chariot. Let me tell you a story. Mother's Day. I know some of you are new, but most of you, you've been gone about 3 weeks. I think it was May 17th was maybe Mother's Day this year. And Deb and I, we have 4 children. They're all married. We have 6.5 grandbabies. So Mother's Day is a big deal. Instead of going to the 3rd service at our church, we go to the 2nd service. We're going to sit on the back row, which we always sit on the 2nd row, and we sit up front. We're going to sit on the back row because we have to get up and go to a Mother's Day celebration as soon as it's over. But the back row was already taken up, so we go over to the other side of the church, and we find a spot on the back row. Church starts. First song we're singing, and Solon walks into our church. Now, it's the 2nd service, And a couple of our services are real dark, and so I don't notice that I know him. But I have the strong prompting, this impression, get up and go invite him to come sit with Debbie and you. The Lord's speaking to my heart. Well, I watch, he walks up the aisle, turns in, the 3rd row, goes all the way and sits on the end. Now look at the next verse, verse 30. And when Philip had run up, Philip not only heard the Spirit, he obeyed the impression of the Lord. So I turned to Deb and I said, I'll be right back. I got up, I went behind the row, down that side of the service, the sanctuary, till I got to Solon, and I put my arm around him, and I kind of started laughing, because I said, I don't know if you're a long-term member. We have 3 services, and I'm not always at our church, because I'm often at other churches. I said, I don't know if you're a long-time member or a first-time visitor, but if you'd like to sit with someone, if you're alone, like to sit with someone, and then I start kind of laughing, how would you like to come back to the very last row? I mean, that's prime real estate back there. And so pick up the story from there. What goes through your mind this stranger comes up and joins your chariot?
Yeah, so I'm gonna ask for the opportunity to kind of do what I would call get real for a moment. Y'all cool with that?
As long as I don't have to get real, you
feel
free.
So I want to back up just a minute, and I want to tell you that I was listening to the first song this morning, and I heard the words, the seed I've received, I will sow.
That jumped out to me as well.
Yeah. That spoke, that spoke very loudly
last line
to me.
And not, honest.
And I wanted to share with you guys that, you know, as I go through today and tell you guys my story, I guess you know, it's not about me, right? It's really about the love that's been shown to me. And I just want to make sure that I do a really good job of sowing the seed that's been given to me elsewhere as well. So hopefully I can do that in your heart. But to pick up where Dr. Jones kind of left off and, you know, came up and put his arm around me, I'm going to back up to the night before. So this suit that I'm wearing today, I wore it on purpose. The night before that, I happened to be sitting outside on the back of a pickup truck in this very same suit. Just so you know, I didn't wear it the Sunday, too. Anyways, I was sitting outside, and I was sitting on the back of this truck, and was really just feeling like life just kept giving me shot after shot, you know? I turned one cheek, and I got hit, and I turned the other cheek, and I got hit again. And I sat outside for about 3 hours in the rain in this very same suit. That night, I went to bed really kind of disheartened, talking, you know, just crying out, trying to figure out where I was going and what was happening. And that next morning I woke up and, you know, I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced any hurt or pain or shame or guilt or anything. But when you go through that sometimes, it's hard to get up in the morning. I don't know if you've ever felt that. It may just be me. I may be talking to one person. But
anybody else in here besides the two of us? Okay.
And that next morning, I woke up with that hurt, that pain, that, you know, I really don't want to go out in public. I don't even want to show my face. And it's interesting that as we go through the scripture, you'll hear, get up and go. Because that next morning, I felt like I was told, get up and go. On a Mother's Day Sunday, me, going to church by myself on a Mother's Day Sunday, telling myself in my head, there's nothing there for you. What are you going to get out of a Mother's Day message? Mm-hmm. You know, it's catered to mothers. Makes sense. Anyways, I got there that morning, and to speed through this and catch us back up, I walked into service late as normal. So everybody, you know, we were worshiping. I was only about 5 minutes late, and I snuck in and got in this row. And I got there, and, you know, I really just started praying. I said, you know, God, just help me to open my heart. Let me receive whatever message that might be here today. I don't even know if you have anything. And then as I kept praying through, I'm listening to the song, and I just remember crying and, you know, uncontrollably and trying to, you know, my glasses and trying to, you know, reach for tears underneath my glasses. And I just closed my eyes and I just felt so alone. And I just said, you know, if you can hear me, you know, if you can hear me, I just want to know that I'm loved. I want to feel your presence. Just please come hold me. And I remember in that moment that I said those words, and I did what I think a lot of people may have found themselves doing at from time to time. I opened my eyes, I looked up, looked around, and I didn't see anybody. And I closed my eyes back, and for about a minute, or for about a second or two, I said to myself, what do you think's actually going to happen? Do you think God's actually going to come up? Do you think, you know, Jesus is going to show up right here in this moment and come hold you? And I promise you, as soon as I said that, I felt Dr. Jones's arms come around my shoulders. And I can't tell you the overwhelming, in awe feeling that came over my body. And I just remember hearing him say those words to me. I don't normally do this. I don't know if you're regular. But do you want to go to the back row and sit with me?
Let's backslide from the very beginning. Yeah, let's go all the way back.
Yeah, let me tell you where
no
I take all of our guests.
To the back row there, so.
Yeah, let me take you where we take all of our new guests, yeah. To the back of the church. Anyways, I just went. So.
Yeah. So we came back to the back, and we're sitting there, and by the second song, we're having this incredible conversation. Do you remember how quickly you just said, you didn't say these words, I'm going to get real, but you got real very quickly.
Yeah, I think for somebody who, and again, I'm just being real, if I can be real, I struggle with trust issues. So somebody that struggles with trust issues to a random guy at that time, you know, I didn't know he was Dr. Jones, president of CIU, or you know, soon to be chancellor of CIU or anything. Just a guy that came up. It was dark. I couldn't even see his face, you know? And I'm sitting down back there, and I'm just sharing away.
So I said, we need to get together and have lunch. So let's look at the rest of verse 30. So Philip asked these questions. Philip heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? So says, let's get together for lunch. He said, all right. So I got his on cell phone number, and I called him Monday. He doesn't return my call. Okay, he's working. I call him Tuesday. Doesn't return my call. I call him Wednesday. Doesn't return my call. Now, I'm not the sharpest stump in the field, okay? But I do catch on after a while. So I don't call him Thursday. Then he calls me Friday. And I said, I can't get together for lunch because I'm going overseas. When I get back, let's get together for lunch. So we met for lunch. And do you remember some of the questions I asked you?
Briefly or vaguely.
Let's look at this right here. I drew this out initially. And Solance took a picture of it and sent it to me. I said, there are three stages in a person's spiritual journey: seeking for Christ, crossing over to Christ, and growing in Christ. I said, Solon, I wonder if you're over here seeking for Christ? And he said, not these exact words, but I'm a Christian. And I ask you what?
Well, so first off, I gotta be very candid with you. As he says he drew this out, he drew it out on a napkin. This is real. And, you know, he...
They don't put paper on the table, so...
I just had to share that, because, yet again, I'm thinking, where are we going? Anyways, yeah, so I recall some of the questions that were asked that day. You know, many of them were about where my heart was, where I felt like I was at in my journey.
You remember the one about cultural, biblical?
I was going to say, more specifically would probably be, did I feel like I was more of a cultural Christian or a biblical Christian? And we delved into a conversation surrounding that. And I gave him my interpretation, which I probably did way too naively, not to know how well educated he was. But anyways, I'm going through sharing about my what I believe the difference in a cultural and a biblical Christian were at this time. And I said, I definitely believe that I was more of that I've been more of a cultural Christian than a biblical Christian. And I'll share this really real quick. You know, so prior to all of this transpiring, you know, I'd lived my life believing I was a Christian. Had you had met me out on the road or seen me anywhere, I would say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah, I believe that he came, he died for our sins, and he rose again. But that was about the extent of it. I also spent a brief period of time working as an assistant youth pastor. You know, anybody puts pastor on the end of your name, you just figure you got to be pretty godly. You got to be a Christian, right? Little did I know what was about to happen, though, in my life.
Let's look at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from that scripture in Isaiah that the Ethiopian had been reading, he preached Jesus to him. So this fourth phase, as we're going through this passage, Philip explained the gospel. So, may I?
Yes.
So here's... Soan took a picture of this and sent it to me. So here's what you can't see on the napkin. So I didn't start from Isaiah. I started from John 3:16. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. And explained the scripture and said, you need to think about this. And I gave him two TCs. You remember the two TCs?
Yeah. hold on. All right, so I...
If you forget
totally,
them, you can't go to heaven anymore.
No, I'm with you. I put them in my own terms.
All right.
Totally convinced and thoroughly convicted.
Right on the money. So I said, you need to make sure you believe in Jesus with all of your heart. Totally convinced, thoroughly convicted, all of it. So he did not pray to receive Christ at that table. You went home that night. And I found this out later because I had to go out of the country again. What happened that night? And do you remember the date of that night?
Yeah, June 2nd of this year, obviously. June 2nd of this year, I just remember going home that night and, you know, I had a great lunch. You know, I felt like I had, I felt that God was pursuing me in that moment. I recognized that there was something going on, and I just remember dropping to my knees that night, and I said, you know, if it was for me, if it was up to me, honestly, I probably would not be able to continue to wake up and deal with life, face life for the battles that I was facing at the moment. And I just said, if that's the case, then I should probably be literally dead by now. And I said, if I'm going to be dead to this world, then I might as well die to you first.
Now, this next slide is, I'm thinking as this conversation is going, I probably should have shown it later, but Solon told me yesterday, he went that night and wrote this in his Bible. Is that your Bible there?
Yeah.
So let's look at the next verse 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, because remember the Ethiopian is asking to be baptized. So Philip invited a response. We left lunch saying, if you believe with all your head and with all your heart. So that night, June 2nd, Solon goes home, and what did you do? I think you had this epiphany, too, about that life had been religion, but now you wanted a relationship. That's the words you gave me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole cultural Christian versus biblical Christian, and where I was at and where I believed I was at and where I was moving to, you know, like I said, I believed, but I definitely had no real relationship. I definitely had not acknowledged the love that I had been receiving. I was at the time just passively accepting that there was something going on, you know, but I thought that most of my success, most of my happiness, most of my wins, I could account them for me, and I literally could count them down for you. Until in those moments, you know, I really found out that there was real love being shown to me, and love that was very intentional, and love that was not going to end. And I, as relationships in this world broke down and fell apart and crumbled, I realized that there was a relationship there that's always been there that I've never really pursued through and through. And I realized that the love that would come out of that relationship and that has come out of that relationship was some of the most incredible and truly unconditional, no conditions, no strings attached love that would come with it.
This guy's preaching, is he not? So I come back from the country, out of the country again, and he tells me he's invited Christ into his heart. And so anybody invites Christ in their heart, I usually give them about six little assignments. One of the assignments I suggest is that you turn to the middle of your Bible, thinking in my head, middle of Old Testament, New Testament, turn to the middle of your Bible and write the prayer that you prayed to the Lord, inviting him to come into your heart. And so Solon did that. Would you read that? And we have it on the screen here. Would you read that to us, please?
Sure. So I just wrote, I didn't really know how to write it, so I just wrote what came to mind, and I just said,
you wrote
and
it
I'll
perfectly.
Say it again.
This is perfect.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross and pay the penalty for my sins and the sins of this world. Lord, I believe that you love me and have given to me the opportunity for eternal life, and I accept it today. Lord, make in me a new and renewed body that I may live for you. God, I accept you into my heart now and forever. I pray that you teach me to love, teach me to live for you. Lord, I pray that you continue to teach, I pray that you continue to teach me, provide provision, wisdom, and continue to breathe your grace on me. I love you, Lord, and I accept you as my Father, humbly with love, in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
Strong. We'll stop here, but Solon joined our Bible study. The next slide is going to say, Philip repeated the process. The Spirit takes him up, and he goes and starts preaching Jesus, continues preaching Jesus in Azotus until he gets to Caesarea. But he joined this summer, the Bible study, made up of businessmen. The idea to be a part of this Bible study is at the end of the Bible study, which is a two-year study, we will all go out and either start other Bible studies, lead people to Christ, but the intent is to impact this city, the city of Columbia, with the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. And part of that Bible study's here. There may be some others that snuck in. Would you guys stand up? And then Holt, would you pray for Solon in a loud voice? And at the end of his prayer, we'll be dismissed, okay? But here's my challenge. Brian, go to the last slide here, please. May you and I, when we hear God's voice, speak to our hearts, impress us, and prompt us, regardless of it's sharing the gospel or going and greeting somebody that's new in church or serving your roommate, let's get up and go. Holt, pray for us, please.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.